Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Well Women Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Laura Pfeiffer. Today's episode is something that I did from an Instagram live talking about one of the most common concerns that I see in my practice from a dietary standpoint, and that's sugar cravings. So I'm talking about all the reasons why you could have them and how you can beat them. So listen up. Good afternoon, everyone. So today I know that I said I was going to hop on and talk about sugar cravings. And so this is, I want to say one of the most common, if not the most common thing that my patients come in with is sugar cravings. They're like, I can't stop eating sugar. How do I kind of get rid of that? So I'm going to kind of go through what causes sugar cravings and then give you guys some tips on how you can eliminate those sugar cravings. So if you have any questions, again, you can post with this video. Unfortunately, I know I said I would hop on here every day, and that seems to be hard to plan a time because I do have a 4-month-old, so kind of dealing with in between nap times is proving to be difficult, but I will be hopping on. So if you can't make it whenever I hop on, obviously the live video will be available for 24 hours after it's posted. And then I'll probably also post it to Facebook for those who miss it on Instagram. So starting with sugar just as a molecule, for those who don't know, sugar is basically a combination of glucose and fructose, and they kind of combine to make sucrose, which is your basic sugar. And if we look back on kind of the history of why we like sugar, why we want something sweet, our ancestors would basically be kind of out hunting and gathering, and when they were hungry, their brain would signal needing that available source of carbohydrates. So that sweet is something that signals that it's a really quickly available source of carbohydrates. We would eat that and then we would be good for the next little while. And so sugar signifies food that provides enough carbohydrates, and that's that symbol, carbohydrates. And so that's always been kind of the physiological reason for sugar being sweet and us being prone to liking sweet. But now we've kind of evolved and we're in a time period where we don't have food scarcity. We don't have a lack of sugar. We don't have a lack of sweets. We can find sweets literally anywhere we go. So now we have this abundance of sweets available to us, and we still have that craving that we need it. And so a craving in itself is defined as a strong, irresistible desire to consume a specific substance, and it often leads to control of food intake. External cues can be things like the smell of food are enough to trigger a craving. Sweet sensations are one of the most intense sensory sensations we can actually feel, and genetics do play a role. So an interesting study showed that a tendency to become addicted to sugar is multifactorial. Your genetics play a role. It's what you eat, what you were brought up with. And seeking of sugar exceeds our metabolic needs. So like I mentioned before, we don't need that anymore because we do have availability of all of this food everywhere, but we don't actually need it. So that leads to excess calories, excess consumption, all of that sort of thing. And the one thing I find interesting is that sugar is actually and behaves actually similar to a drug. And so some of the research I looked into, number one, sugar compared to drugs, I kind of wanted to see what the differences were in terms of how it relates just as a substance to a drug. So number one, it is a chemical-like substance. So sugar cane is crushed, boiled onto a syrup, shaken, stripped of all of its vitamins and minerals and molasses, and then we're left with these pure white crystals. And so it is highly processed. It is shown to produce binging, craving, tolerance, withdrawal, cross-sensitization, which I'll go over in a second, cross-tolerance, cross-dependence, reward, and opioid-like effects. And so that is a drug-like response. It also has been shown to possibly cause dopamine deficiency in the brain. So that is our feel-good hormones. And interestingly enough, food and drug rewards appear to act on the exact same pathways or similar pathways in the brain. And so looking at cross-sensitization, cross-sensitization is an increased response to drugs of abuse, and cross-tolerance is animals that become tolerant to the analgesic effects of morphine can also become tolerant to the effects of sugar. Cross-dependence is basically its ability, so sugar can actually suppress withdrawal from certain drugs, and this is all found in animal studies. So interestingly, that our body kind of responds to sugar the same in different scenarios. And so one study that I found said after several weeks to months of chronic intake, the period between sugar intake causes a dopamine kind of deficiency. And so when the brain's low in dopamine, this leads to withdrawals. People are not obviously strung out when they're consuming sugar, but they feel like they need it again. So it can have these like ADHD like symptoms when we're craving that sugar. So we have that sugar, we create that dependence, and now we crave it. Now it's a vicious cycle because now we need to find it again. So I do compare sugar to the its interactions, the way it interacts with the brain, is similar to that of drugs. Like I mentioned, food and drugs act on similar neural pathways in the brain. So you can understand why it's so hard to get off of sugar. So if sugar is something that you crave all the time, and you really see kind of how our body actually responds to sugar, you can understand. And so what happens when we eat sugar? So first, we consume sugar. Then we have a release of opioids and dopamine in the brain. Then sensitization comes along, so we become used to the sugar that we are consuming. Then after we're consuming sugar all the time, kind of getting used to it, we become dependent. So our body is now used to that opioid and dopamine response, and we need it again and again and again. Then once we try to cut sugar, so anybody who's tried to get rid of sugar cold turkey knows what it's like to withdraw off of sugar. I always notice it when I have, let's say, Halloween or Easter or other sort of Christmas even, where you're having lots of sweets and desserts and pies. When you are those 2 weeks following that holiday or that event where you binged and you increased the sugar intake into your diet, it is hard to move on from that. So I find if it's Halloween or Easter and I've overindulged and I've eaten a lot of sweets and a lot of candy, those weeks following that, I'm like, I need sugar, I want candy, I want pie. And it takes a while to get over that. So if you've experienced that, you're not alone. And it makes sense from a physiological standpoint. So the risks of consuming sugar. Everybody knows obesity, diabetes, but something like metabolic syndrome. So for those of you who don't know what metabolic syndrome is, basically it is a number of different factors that happen when we have dysregulation in our body. So things like high blood pressure, things like insulin resistance, which can lead to diabetes, things like increased negative cholesterol. So we always need to have cholesterol. We have good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. So the increase in negative cholesterol can be the result of consuming too much sugar. And also, not a lot of people know that too much sugar can actually lead to fatty liver. And so not a lot of people put that together. But in a lot of our foods that are sweetened with sugar, we see high fructose corn syrup. And high fructose corn syrup actually acts directly on the liver. And research has actually shown that in children who are consuming a lot of these high fructose corn syrup rich foods, they actually have fatty liver beginning at very young ages, which is pretty scary. Because we know fatty liver to usually be, or liver issues to be related to alcohol use. And that's truly not the case anymore with our standard American diet. So the role of stress with respect to sugar. So our stress hormone is cortisol. Stress triggers an increase in appetite, and it does present differently in men and women. So one study I looked at actually found that women eat healthier when they do not feel stressed, and were found to consume more sweet food when they were stressed. Stressed women ingest sugar and saturated fat more frequently. So again, sweet cravings are more common in women with excess weight, PMS, stress, and depression. So those were actually four different conditions that women were found to crave more sweet foods. So I want to look at the role of hormones, because I always look at the role of hormones when it comes to any sort of thing, because your hormones are related to everything you do. But I wanted to look at their specific role in sweets and sweet cravings and sugar cravings specifically. And so basically when we look at the period, we look at two different spaces of the cycle. We look at the follicular phase, dominated by estrogen, and the luteal phase, which is dominated by progesterone. Hey, Morgan. And so we have this hormone leptin, and this is what tells us that we are full. So the research that I looked at was actually quite interesting, because it found that estrogen, first half of that cycle dominating, when estrogen was higher, we had sweet and carbohydrate cravings. When estrogen goes up, leptin goes down. So I just told you that leptin is that hormone that makes us feel full. So if estrogen goes up, leptin goes down, we're gonna feel less full. And then additionally, with estrogen being a little bit higher during whenever that phase is, we're going to crave more sweets and more carbohydrates. And now this is interesting, because I just told you about the two phases of the cycle. So first phase, follicular phase, second phase, luteal phase. We have estrogen and we have progesterone. But if you think about it, like a person who is actually experiencing something like estrogen dominance, so in this person, they actually have estrogen and progesterone in the two parts of the cycle, but what actually ends up happening is their progesterone is not high enough relative to their estrogen levels. And so as a result, their estrogen is going to be higher than it should be throughout the cycle. So if you're estrogen dominant, you actually could crave more sweets. You could crave more carbohydrates. The role of food is always important when we're looking at sweet cravings. And yesterday, if you saw my live video, I talked all about blood sugar regulation and how important that was for anxiety and for the stress response. So blood sugar regulation is always at the forefront of everything I do, because it does relate to hormones, it relates to mental health, it relates to digestive health, all of those sorts of things. But when we're not eating the right foods, we have spikes in our blood sugar all throughout the day, and that's going to lead to cravings. The reason why that is because we have these refined carbohydrates, they're spiking our blood sugar, and then we are crashing right back down. And so we're not giving our body the opportunity to stabilize. We are going up and we're getting this high and this energy boost, and then we are crashing right down immediately, and our body's like, oh my goodness, I need that source of sugar again. And so we go back to our primal instincts, where we crave something that is easily accessible to turn into sugar. So something like candy, something that will, I mean, ancient times it was fruit, right? So it was like berries or those sorts of things. Now we're grabbing candy and we're grabbing juices and those sorts of things that are making our blood sugar go way back up. And then it's all happening again. It's crashing right back down. So again, our body is craving the quickest source of fuel, which is sugar. So then we look at kind of what else could be going on in this scenario. So I actually looked at some of the research on magnesium and calcium deficiency. Interestingly enough, chocolate cravings can signal a magnesium deficiency, salty cravings can signal a calcium deficiency, and sugar itself has actually been found to block the absorption of calcium and magnesium. So eating sugar makes you want more sugar. If it's blocking the absorption, then it's making you crave more, right? Another thing that could be going on is a gut bacteria imbalance. So do you take heartburn medication? Do you take Tums? Do you take antacids? Allergy medications? When is the last time you took antibiotics? Do you crave bread and sugar daily? You could have a dysbiosis going on. And so looking at that picture is really important. I mentioned gut health with respect to stress and anxiety. I mentioned gut health as a pillar of immune support. And you can really see how gut health plays a role in everything. And when you hear me talk about different topics, I always pull from different areas and different systems in the body, because really, you can't talk about one topic, especially in naturopathic medicine. You can't just talk about one topic and not talk about the rest of the body systems that are involved in that topic. So looking at gut health, looking at things that deplete your good bacteria, looking at things that deplete all of your bacteria, looking at things that feed negative bacteria. So if we have like a candida situation, we don't want to have things that are feeding that overgrowth, refined sugars and things like that. Heartburn medication can actually block your stomach acid production, and stomach acid helps us digest things and helps us properly have a digestive flora. Are you changing up your foods? Are you varying what you're eating? Because that is going to reduce the diversity in your gut. So things like that will help you see if you have a dysbiosis going on and that's why you crave sugar. Another thing, another reason why you would crave sugar is adrenal fatigue or burnout. So if you are stressed and you are burnt out, like I mentioned before, women who were stressed tend to eat more sweet foods, more saturated fat. A lot of that is comfort food as well. So the adrenal glands are two glands that sit on top of the kidneys, and they are responsible for our stress hormone production. And so if you get hangry or you feel dizzy when you're standing, do you feel exhausted or burnt out? This could be the reason for your sugar cravings. And so when you try to make those dietary changes and you try to cut out sugar cold turkey, or you try to cut out sweets cold turkey, it might not work for you because your adrenals are exhausted. Another sign that would indicate that it could be adrenal burnout is that if you're craving salt, so you're craving chips, you really need salt. You can also crave sweet as well because it's a quick source of energy. But if you're craving salt, that can also be an indication that your adrenals need some help. So looking at that in part of your picture is really important. The other thing I want to talk about, two more things. Second to last one is menopause. As our estrogen levels drop, women are more prone to insulin resistance. And so this is from blood sugar fluctuations. And so I'll kind of elaborate on what that means. But basically, when you're going through menopause, your hormone levels decline. So you're kind of in that cycling phase. You go through menopause and your estrogen declines, your progesterone declines. And so as our estrogen declines, you're more at risk to have insulin resistance. What does that mean? When we eat something, our body breaks it down into sugar. Then our body releases insulin. Insulin is our storage hormone. This basically says to our body, okay, take that sugar and now store it and put it away. In someone who's insulin resistant, what happens is you eat that food, that blood sugar comes up, your body signals, okay, now we need insulin. Insulin comes up. Now insulin comes to the cell and says, okay, time to store that, and your cell doesn't respond. So now we are insulin resistant. We are not storing our blood sugar properly. We're not storing our blood sugar efficiently. And so then we lead to high blood sugar levels. High blood sugar levels can lead us to a state of diabetes or something like that. So insulin resistance. So as women go through menopause, their estrogen levels go lower. This leads us to insulin resistance, and this can cause these sugar cravings because of these blood sugar fluctuations throughout the day. Sugar also increases serotonin, which is our feel-good hormone. So a lot of women, due to hormonal changes, can have irritability and mood changes and things like that. And when we eat sugar, that increases our feel-good hormone. So we want to keep eating it because it gives us that feeling when we're losing that hormonal balance. The last thing is thyroid imbalance. So we need to look at your thyroid. And just to note, you can be medicated for your thyroid and still feel symptoms. So some symptoms of a thyroid imbalance: exhaustion, depression, weight gain, sensitivity to cold, muscle weakness, muscle aches, body pain, constipation. There's a whole slew of symptoms, but you can also find yourself having cravings as well. So making sure that you have a full evaluation, full blood work done. And when I say full blood work done, especially with the thyroid, I don't just mean TSH, I mean the whole panel. So TSH, free T3, free T4, and antibodies. And that, when you have that done, then you can have a clearer picture of what else is going on. And so getting over a sugar craving, these are some tips that I'm gonna give you right now so that you can, while you're at home, help work on your sugar cravings. Number one, like I mentioned at the beginning, when you go through a period of eating lots of sweets, so Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, Easter's coming up, after you kind of have this sugar hangover that won't go away. So you need to get through that initial sugar hangover after you eat a lot of sweets. So it will be difficult. Sugar is a real addiction. It can last up to 2 weeks. So sugar hides in so many of our foods. It's not just, I keep saying candy. I keep saying fruit, which I don't really mean. You can eat fruit, that is fine. There are certain people who shouldn't eat certain fruits. There's a lot of looking at pairing your foods appropriately. But when I'm talking about sugar, it is hiding in so many different foods. So you'll be surprised if you start reading labels. Things like peanut butter. If your peanut butter is not natural peanut butter, you will likely see sugar or high fructose corn syrup. That is also sugar. Things like yogurt, things like granola bars, like Fiber One bars that I mentioned yesterday, these are full of sugar. Juices, obviously. But don't be fooled by products that are labeled as health products or healthier products, the amount of sugar that is in them. And we used to go through this movement of this low fat, low fat, low fat, everybody get on low fat. And what that means ultimately is we have to get the flavor from somewhere. So low fat usually equals high sugar. So be very cautious when you're buying low fat products, especially dairy products. So low fat dairy products usually means higher sugar dairy products. So that's the one thing, is look at your labels, make sure you're not consuming sugar that you're not meaning to. If you're going on a sugar, like letting sugar go, you need to make sure that it's not in any of your products that you don't already know about. Exercise is one really good way to get rid of those sugar cravings. The research has shown that exercise decreased food cravings and increased restraint. Exercise is also a natural antidepressant. So I mentioned sugar increasing your serotonin. Well, exercise increases your endorphins and increases your positive neurotransmitters as well. Exercise also has protection against diabetes, high blood pressure, cardiovascular protection, cancer. So it's amazing on its own. And the study looking at exercise actually looked at 12 weeks of moderate exercise without changing any other behaviors. They did a 7-day energy intake basically log, and they found that these people had increases in cognitive restraint and reductions in body mass. So participants became more aware of their lifestyle. And I mentioned yesterday that I have this Fit watch, it's a Garmin, and I absolutely love it because you almost get used to seeing when you exercise that calorie burn, and it's really something that you want to see. So when I look at my watch, I look, okay, how much did I actually move today? And if I see that I haven't moved, then I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to work out. Whereas when I'm not wearing my watch, I don't really notice it at all. Reducing your stress level. So I mentioned when women were stressed, they craved sugar. And so things like meditation, things like acupuncture, acupressure, if you're at home, I mentioned yesterday some acupressure points to help with stress and anxiety. So refer to that video. It is posted on Facebook in my Well Women Tribe Facebook group, or just on my Dr. Laura Pfeiffer, naturopathic doctor Facebook page. You can check it out there. Herbs and supplements, obviously that's gonna be tailored to you, making sure that we're addressing your stress issues, your adrenal issues. Is your cortisol too high? Is it too low? Is it coming up at funky times and coming down when it's supposed to be coming up? So we need to really evaluate that picture before we decide which herbs, which supplements are great for you. Supporting your adrenals. So things easily, B vitamins, C vitamins. These are found, vitamin C, B vitamins. These are found in fruits and vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables, lots of leafy greens. Increasing your vegetable and fruit intake will just give you those nutrients to help support your adrenal glands. Taking on less. A lot of people have a hard time saying no. Now, because we're all at home, is a really great opportunity to just use this time to kind of chill with yourself and relax and start meditation and get on some yoga and really, really start to understand that we need to think about the things we can control and the things we can't control, and we really need to hone in on the things we can control and not worry as much as we can about the things that we can't, and to meditate and to breathe and to move our bodies in a way that makes us feel good and makes us feel at peace. Some meditation, calm.com is amazing, free resource. Headspace is a really great app. Calm is also an app. And I mean, do as long or as short as you need it. Whatever you can do when it comes to meditating, it's really you against you. It's not you competing with anyone else in terms of meditation minutes or anything like that, but doing something that makes sense for you. And regulating your hormones. So getting rid of excess estrogen, herbs and supplements, diet, lots of cruciferous vegetables. I always mention flaxseed. Fiber, lifestyle changes, staying away from makeups and plastics and crap that gives you excess estrogen, so an exogenous estrogen. We're looking for chemicals. Head to the Environmental Working Group. That's a really great resource to help with your hormones. And diet. drinking enough water, adding lemon to your water, especially in the morning, can help with that sweet craving later on. Like I mentioned, cruciferous vegetables, lots of turmeric. Curcumin is in turmeric. It's really anti-inflammatory. Adding cinnamon to stabilize your blood sugar levels is really good. Protein, healthy fat, fiber are things I always preach. Fiber does stop the reabsorption of estrogen to the body as well. So things like flaxseed is really great for that specifically. Chia seed, whole fruits and vegetables. Ground flax seeds, like I mentioned, modulate estrogen also because they are a phytoestrogen. Things like organic, non-GMO soy is really great. If you're interested in learning more about soy, I do have my webinar up on soy on the Well Women Tribe Facebook group. And again, avoiding harmful ingredients. So things like parabens, things like phthalates. So read your labels, go through your products, go in the environmental working group. A lot of time you can just like type in the product and it'll tell you if it's safe or not or what ingredients you should worry about. And don't let yourself get hungry. Get yourself high fat, protein, fiber snacks throughout the day so you can balance your blood sugar. If you want to chat more, you can always send me a message. But otherwise, enjoy your day, guys, and stay healthy.